Thank you, Mr. Warren. You know, he's talking about the weather. I was looking at the forecast for tomorrow. We're calling for an inch of snow. So, but it is January, so anyway. Good afternoon, brethren, and greetings to those watching by Cybercast. As was mentioned, we trust that the signal will come through clearly. You know, this time a couple years ago, we were well below zero on our weather, so I'm very happy with what's going on right now. You know, last time I spoke, we covered the power of our loving Heavenly Father has revealed through His creation. Today, I want to expand that search and look at His wisdom in the creation that He has created. If you'll turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There's nothing that's too hard for you. You know, wherever we turn, God's wisdom is in everything. Through His creation, God's omnipotence is revealed. Today, we're going to look at several aspects of His wonderful creation to help us better understand the wisdom of our loving Heavenly Father and the things that He has made for us. The first thing I want to focus on today is water. You know, when you look at the properties of water, this is a molecule that is indispensable to life. When creating the earth, God covered four-fifths of the earth's surface with it, in its streams, lakes, and seas and oceans. Water is perfectly designed to support the life of every cell of every creature. It's an excellent solvent, it's a coolant, and it's a transporter. Water is of major importance to all living things. In some organisms, up to 90% of their body weight comes from water. Up to 60% of a human adult's body is comprised of water. According to H.H. Mitchell Journal, the brain and heart are composed of 73% water, and the lungs are about 83% water. Then look at the insect world. Each of those amazing works is endowed with ingenious abilities that far surpass anything man-made. From elegant to complex, our Father's works declare His wisdom. You know, as I mentioned earlier, we're supposed to get some snow tomorrow. But did you know that snow was actually mentioned in the Bible? Turn with me to Psalms chapter 147. Psalms chapter 147 and verse 16. Here David describes snow. He said he gives snow like wool. And that's true. Have you ever been outside or looked out the window right after our first big snowfall? And it's everything's so perfect. There's not a track anywhere. It's just like a big wool blanket that covers everything. It's absolutely beautiful. He scatters the frost like ashes. You know, before the snow comes on, if you get a good hard frost where it's good and cold that morning, and you look out at the grass, and you can see the grass just glistens in the sunlight. It's absolutely amazing. Also in Job chapter 38 and verse 22. Job chapter 38 and verse 22. One of the questions that God asked Job, he said, "Have you entered the treasury of snow? Or have you seen the treasury of hell?" Now, you might think, snow, a treasury, how's that even possible? So no one living at the time that Job heard this from God could have fully known about the treasure that was actually in the snow. But with the invention of the microscope, the individual crystals can be wholly appreciated. And I actually did this when I was in school, grade school, many years ago. We actually took some snow crystals and put them under a microscope. And it's absolutely amazing, the intricate design that's in each one of those. They're breathtaking to behold. In contrast, man-made snow has none of the elaborate structure found in snow crystals. It's just not there. Snow crystals are made out of amazing water molecules. Each oxygen atom has a little bit of a negative charge. It holds on to two hydrogen atoms that have a little bit of a positive charge. And the amazing thing is, it holds these at 104.5 degrees apart. That is some minute detail. When you reach the freezing point, suddenly they reach the point where the electrical activation of the plus and minus charges pulls together. And that's what makes the snow crystals. That's the energy source, and then the shape that God gave the water molecules line up to form these beautiful crystals. Each one is unique in its reflection of God's creativity. Every day, trillions of these transparent treasures fall to the earth for our discovery and joy. And yet, no two are exactly alike. Each individual ice crystal is made up of millions of water molecules. They fit together in a particular way as to grow outward and fall down through the clouds at different temperatures, and they begin to form different shapes. Each ice crystal is going to be slightly different than every other one. There are over 100 different basic types of ice crystals, but none of them are exactly the same. If you turn back to the book of Psalms in chapter 104, Psalms chapter 104 and verse 24. Here David says, O Lord, how manifold are your works. In wisdom you have made them all. The earth is full of your possessions. Simple water molecules form ice crystals, but what about something that's far more complex than ice crystals? What about our DNA? DNA contains the blueprint for all life. It's by far the most dense storage mechanism known in the universe. As an example, the amount of information stored in a pinhead. You know, my grandmother used to have one of those pin cushions and had all those little pins with the different colored heads on them. And when yours reached in the sewing box, you got poked. But that's okay. The amount of information that is in one of those pinheads holds enough volume of DNA that would fill a stack of books five times higher than from here to the moon in one little pinhead. We all start out as a single cell. But how does that single cell know how to build a body with 100 trillion cells in it? Thousands of different kinds, and each one is so complex and so far above our comprehension on how it works. Encoded in the instruction manual, how to build and operate every part of this incredible body made up of 100 trillion cells. Now, evolutionists would have you believe that this all came together out of nothing, and all of them just kind of formed together and just kind of mangled together to make us. But you know what? That's not true. God has a whole lot more to say about that. DNA is a three-dimensional molecule that is self-replicating. Each molecule is able to make up an identical copy quickly and efficiently. God has even made DNA to detect and correct replication errors. There is a special enzyme that goes up and down the DNA molecule to detect and repair minute by minute and second on a second by second basis. That's just mind-blowing to know that much detail is in our DNA. All of these molecules work in harmony with the cells in our bodies as one unit. You know, as man has just scratched the surface of our complex DNA and cells, is it amazing the complexity and insight God has put into each one of us as his creation? Look at the wisdom he used to create us, brethren. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 10. So we've looked at water, we've looked at ice crystals, and we've looked at DNA so far. Let's move on to another area. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits in your righteousness. Every seed is a miniature miracle. Even the tiny sequoia seed that would just be about the size of a pinhead when it starts out can grow into the largest tree on earth, growing up to 300 feet tall and weighing many tons. From other seeds, we can enjoy the fruits of many, many different trees. Whether it's apple trees or peach trees or pear trees or plum trees, there's all kinds of fruits that trees bear for our enjoyment and our nourishment. There is also a multitude of seeds to produce spectacular blossoms in abundance. Consider the many varieties of seeds. As stated in Genesis, each seed always produces after its own kind. The food and the byproducts they produce have provided food for man and animals alike. You know, I know when years ago, when we worked at the greenhouse, you know, it was amazing to see those little tiny seeds that you would plant and what they would grow into. And the closer they got to all blooming, and then it got to the point that the whole greenhouse was just full of blooms. And it was just like, it was really refreshing just to go out there and see all the different colors and varieties that were there. It was just totally amazing. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. One quick story on that. I remember one lady would come in and she would buy stuff, and then she'd go out and she'd come back in and she'd buy stuff, and she finally came to the point where she said, "If you see me coming to the door, shut the door and lock it. Don't let me in." So then she came back and she goes, "We're eating bologna sandwiches this week." And she'd just come in and get some more stuff. It was pretty funny. In Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12, then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, the seed that yields, and the fruit tree that yields fruit, according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is within itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. You know, brethren, the things that God creates for us is very good. Inside each seed is a baby plant that's actually protected by a shell. When the temperature, the moisture conditions, and the oxygen is present in just the right amount, then that seed will sprout. The seed is part of the reproductive structure God made from the very beginning. No scientist has been able to build a synthetic seed. And believe me, they're trying. They can try and alter the seeds that we have, but they cannot actually build a seed by themselves. Seeds will remain dormant until water and warmth are available. Then they will grow to produce food and more seeds. Isn't it interesting how that God doesn't just have a seed that grows something and then it dies away, but it actually produces more seed that's going to grow something else the following year that's going to just keep replenishing and keep replenishing. When seeds are planted, they're designed so the roots go down and the stem comes up. You know, if you ever planted beans or corn in your garden, you don't have to worry about which direction the seed is pointed when you drop it in the ground. It always, the roots always go down and the stem always comes up. Otherwise, you'd be out there with tweezers trying to place that in just exactly the right place to try to get it to where it would sprout. But you don't have to worry about that. No matter what position the seed is in the ground, it still works this way. You can see the guiding hand of our Father in this process. In order to sprout and thrive, seeds require the proper soil nutrients, the water, the correct amount of light, the right atmosphere, and the necessary pollinators. And that's where the insects come in. God placed all of these in one place from the beginning in order for the seeds to yield a harvest of blessings for all life. What a wonderful blessing seeds are. They grow into flowers and plants alike to add color, to add variety, and food for us all. There is a great variety of flowering plants all over the globe, each one with its own individual flower, fruit, and fragrance. Each flower produces its own particular perfume. Now, that's one thing that I wasn't aware of until we actually did the greenhouse. Some areas of the greenhouse had a different fragrance than others, and it was really neat to go through there. Even the leaves of a plant has built within themselves their own particular solar panels. As a leaf expands, it faces the sun to receive its energy. The leaves take in carbon dioxide, is absorbed, and oxygen is released. Hydrogen is used to make the sugars. God made the plants to absorb what we waste, what our waste is from our bodies, and to release oxygen so that every creature can survive. That's just totally amazing. Let's go, well, we're in Genesis. Let's go to chapter 2 and verse 9. Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Out of the ground the Lord made every tree that grows that is pleasant to the sight for good food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But God planted all of these trees and plants for us and for the animals to be able to survive. Food, oxygen, medicine, fuel, raw materials all come from plants that God made for our benefit. The next area I would like to focus on is that of the birds that God made. Go to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 26. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them all. Are you of not more value than they are? God takes care of his creation, brethren. He looks out for us and for the animals that he has created. The abilities that God has designed in each bird is amazing. I didn't realize this until I got to looking into this, but did you know that the bird's bones are actually hollow inside? They're not a solid piece of bone. And they have like a webbing structure inside for support. Isn't it interesting that through the study of birds, man was able to design an airplane wing? And if you look at those aren't solid either. They have webbing material. They have a webbing structure inside of those. The feathers of most birds weigh more than their bones do. Didn't realize that either. The feathers insulate the birds from the sun's heat. They keep them warm in the winter. Each feather is connected to a nerve that is controlled by a muscle. This precision muscular control helps the birds balance in the air. It helps them to steer, to brake, when slowing down to land. Even the size and shape of each feather plays an instrumental part in the abilities of each bird. Another ability that is built into the birds is air sacs that are connected to its lungs. And I didn't realize this either. I may have covered this years ago in school, but that's been too much water over the dam. We won't go there. But as the bird moves its wings during flight, air flows through these air sacs. This feeds the bird's tissues with life, supporting oxygen while keeping it light in the air. The bird's lungs allows it to take in oxygen while inhaling and exhaling. If you look at a bird, you can't see its chest move in and out when it's breathing. When it's singing a song, you can, but not when it's breathing. That's why they can fly great distances and not be totally exhausted. One of the biologists that I had some material on made a statement. He said, you know, when you have a flock of geese that has flown many miles to get to their destination for the winter, when they land, you don't notice their chest going in and out, or you don't notice them being out of breath and panting or so on, because it's the way God designed them to be able to function. Another ability birds have is the ability to migrate from the north to the south pole. Some birds do this. Now, if you had an airplane, you could do that, but you'd have to have the help of ground control. But if you look inside the cockpit of an airliner, there's a multitude of controls and gauges everywhere. It's like, you know, I've seen inside a cockpit before, and I'm like, how in the world do they know what button does what? There's gauges everywhere. But guess what? A bird has built into a small part of its brain the ability to be able to fly from North Pole to the South Pole. They don't have to have all the gauges. They don't have to have something on the ground guiding their way. God has built that into them. So, if someone ever calls you a bird brain, say thank you. Because it's an amazing, amazing design. And it's amazing the ability that they have to be able to do all this. Different types of birds have different jobs. Many help control the insects. Others remove dead carcasses. Some, such as the finch family, is a weed seed destroyer. The owl and the hawk keep the rodents in check. The sandpiper combs the beaches. The water birds help maintain fish population, and the herring helps control frog and snake population. It's so mind-blowing what God has designed in everything. Go to Psalms 145 and verse 10. Psalms chapter 145 and verse 10. All of your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. While we're in the bird family, let's focus on the hummingbird. It's an example of agility and grace. It is able to hover in midair. It can even fly backwards and sideways with ease. Its wings hinge at the shoulders, allowing it to hover like a helicopter. When hovering, its wings beat about 50 times per second. That's why you hear the humming noise. When speeding away, they can beat up to 80 times per second. And it has a heart rate of 21 beats per second. There are more than 300 stunning species of hummingbirds. And I didn't realize that either. That's a lot of different styles. But it just shows the creativity that God has put into his creation. Let's go to chapter 111, verse 2. Psalms 111, verse 2. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who take pleasure in them. You know, that is so true. I can remember as a kid just laying on my back, flat on my back in the yard, and looking up at the sky and looking at the clouds floating by and trying to pick out different designs of different animals in them. It felt like, now, maybe in my imagination, but it felt like you could feel the earth moving a little bit underneath your back. Now, that may be in my imagination from being a kid, but it was really pretty awesome. Another area that I want to focus on is that of butterflies. Do you realize that there's an estimated 18,000 butterfly species that adorn our planet? They change from a caterpillar to a beautiful butterfly. It's an amazing transformation. It changes from a worm that eats all the time to a decorative, wonderful, multicolored, four-winged insect. It was designed to fly, to drink the nectar from the flowers, to fertilize them. It was designed to mate. It was designed to migrate, in some cases, thousands of miles. Brethren, you know, have you ever thought about the correlation of the change from a caterpillar to a butterfly and how that applies to our lives? You know, we're to change from our carnal ways to the glory of God and what He has in store for us. And that's an amazing transformation in each of our lives. And I just thought that was neat to compare that to the life of a caterpillar changing into a butterfly. Let's go to Job chapter 12 and verse 7. Job chapter 12 and verse 7 through 9. I thought this kind of summed everything up really well. But ask the beast, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? Brethren, I hope you can see from the examples that we've looked at today God's infinite wisdom in the things that He's created. From the life-giving water to the ice crystals, to the code that's in our DNA, to the plants that generate seeds for new growth, to the birds of the air and the beautiful butterflies. We need to thank our loving Heavenly Father for the wisdom that He has shown us through His creation.